New heading. Didn't you hire all these people to be winners? I came across another commonly misaligned system while speaking to a group of about 800 at their annual convention. In their system, only 30 of the 800 received rewards. 30 of 800. I turned to the president and said, "Didn't you hire all of these people to be winners?" "Yes." "Did you hire any losers?" "No." "You have 770 losers tonight." "Well, they didn't win the contest." "They're losers." "Why?" "Because of the way you're thinking. It's win-lose. What else could you do?" "Make them all winners." "Where do you get the concept that you have to have contests? Where do you get the idea that winning means to beat? Don't you have enough competition in the marketplace?" "Well, that's just the way life is." "Really? How's your relationship with your wife? Who's winning there?"
"Well, some days she wins, some days I win."
I said, "Is that the kind of modeling you want to give to your kids for their futures? Come on." He responded, "Well, how do I do it with compensation?" I said, "It's not that difficult. Set up an individualized win-win performance agreement with every person and every team. If they accomplish the desired results, they win." One year later, I was invited back after a lot of pathfinding and aligning work had been done. This time, over 1,000 people were at the annual rally. And of the 1,000, guess how many won? 800. The 200 who didn't chose not to. It was their choice. There was no comparison at all. They simply hadn't accomplished their win-win performance agreement. And what did those 800 people produce? They produced as much business as the previous year's 30 per person. The whole culture had changed. The whole culture had moved from scarcity thinking to abundance thinking. 800 people were where last year's 30 were. Why? Let's answer the question by contrasting this story with the earlier Bermuda story. Instead of each one thinking, "Which one of us is going to Bermuda?" each would be thinking, "I want you to go to Bermuda with your spouse and with me. I want all of us to go. I want you to go to Bermuda with your spouse and with me and my spouse. I want all of us to go. I'm pulling for you." Imagine how that thought process could revolutionize an internally competitive organization. But you know, in both cases, the presidents were not untrustworthy men. They had the character, even an abundance mentality. They just didn't have the mindset or the skill set to create aligned compensation systems. They didn't have complete information systems. It's analogous to flying an airplane with only one dial working. It's disastrous. But they grasped the concept right away. Again, the problem wasn't character. Their problem was competency. They had never learned the skill. And they'd been caught in a scarcity-minded, traditional, duplicitous system that would remain duplicitous until they acquired the skills. New heading. Aligning requires constant vigilance. Aligning work is never finished. It requires constant effort and adjustment simply because you're dealing with so many changing realities. Systems, structures, and processes must remain flexible so that they can adjust to these changing realities. Yet they must also be based upon unchanging principles. With this combination of flexible changelessness, you create an organization that is both stable and agile. You see, principles represent the deeper well. The deeper well of principles supplies all of the shallower wells and root structures of empowerment, quality, producing more for less, sustainability, scalability, and agility. One way to lubricate your organization's ability to make the constant and necessary alignment changes
is again to be serious about benchmarking against superior performers of similar functions within your own organization and in all industries or professions throughout the world. This gets people involved in and coming up with world-class awareness and definitions instead of just looking to the past or extrapolating from trends in either their own industry or with their current competitors. You look for best practice organizations that are reputed to be superior performers. Not that they are perfect or will even remain superior, but look constantly for today's best and to learn from them, from world-class. Observation, common sense, and solid research have shown that successful organizations are not a product of solo acts of people or of the individual traits of formal leaders. Successful organizations are a product of the organizational trait. They are not personality dependent. They are system and culture dependent. We'll discuss culture in greater depth when we move into the empowering role. General Electric is one illustration of a company that in many of its divisions made the transition from the industrial to the knowledge worker age. The primary focus of the longtime CEO Jack Welch and Dr. Noel Tishy, who served as GE's Manager of Management Education, was to embed leadership development in GE's genes and in training its leaders. Here's the way Dr. Tishy put it. Mr. Welch's insight, which was not widely shared in business at the time, was that leadership was not the province solely of the CEO in his or her senior executive team, but had to be institutionalized throughout the company. A globalizing economy meant that a business world long characterized by stability, autocracy, and strictly bounded processes would have to become more change-embracing, which would require the development of nimble, adaptable leaders up and down the company's hierarchies. This in turn meant building the capacity for teaching men and women not only how to manage change, but how to create it.